Thank you, Pastor Bill, for having me today. That was a very rich Bible study we had today. There was so much of truth that was imparted to us. I received so much, you know, from that word, and so much that we are going through in our own nation as well. So thank God for Pastor Bill and for the ministry that he brings, especially to our nation as well. So I will share some of that with you as I minister this morning. Could you open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 3? Acts chapter 3. This morning I want to encourage you. I come as an encourager today, and I want to encourage you from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. My wife Jeevani and our son Joshua conveys their love and regards to every one of you. I'm sure they will come very soon. We were planning to come in April of 2020, but then the pandemic happened, and then we were planning last year to come, and then the economic crisis happened in our nation. So that we were planning actually this time to be here, but it didn't happen. So pretty much next year, hopefully, you know, it will happen in God's time. Amen. Hallelujah. Here the Bible says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, and he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as one of who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This morning, the title of my message is called The Wonder of the Holy Spirit. The Wonder of the Holy Spirit. Here was Peter and John going up to the temple, and the Bible says in the hour of prayer. In the hour of prayer. In John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus breathed on the disciples. And Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. So do you think the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened in John chapter 20, verse 22? I don't think so. But they were filled with the infilling. It was the inward filling of the Holy Spirit to the disciples, because the disciples were with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They were close associates of Jesus. They ministered with Jesus. They saw all the miracles that Jesus did. What a blessing. What a privilege to be walking Jesus physically and ministering with him. But still, the disciples had many weaknesses, many flaws in their own lives. But Jesus said, to receive the Holy Spirit, but the outpouring of the Holy Spirit had not yet happened. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. When he is glorified, that's when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit would come. So they were inwardly filled, the Holy Spirit within them. But that was not enough for them, because they had all these flaws and failures. Peter, you know, walking with Jesus and ministering, but just when Jesus was going through the hour of trial, Jesus said, "Tarry with me for 1 hour." Could you, in prayer, all the apostles, Peter, John, and everybody, were sleeping. They were not tarrying with Jesus. And Jesus was desperately looking for them to pray and to help him through this difficult time. But they were all sleeping. And then when Jesus was crucified, remember? Somebody came and asked Peter, "Were you not with Jesus?" He said, no, I don't know him." That's terrible. "I don't know him." Denying him. But then, thank God for Jesus. You know, he went to the cross and he was glorified. And Jesus said to stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That they were all filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And here was Peter and John. They came walking after being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were going into the temple in the hour of prayer. And that's the time we get another filling. We need to be filled daily by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we leak. We leak. We're human beings. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 5:16, to walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There were so many young people, they come and say, "Pastor, how do I overcome addiction? You know, I pray, I fast, I go to church, I'm a good person, I try to do everything right, but I always fail. How come? What's the secret?" Galatians 5:16, to walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's the Spirit-fed life. When you feed yourself with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome the flesh. It empowers us to overcome every weakness, every frailty, character flaws, whatever that's happening in our heart, childhood issues, trauma, abuse, whatever. The Holy Spirit can enable us to overcome all of our difficulties. It's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Here was John and Peter. They come filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God had touched them. Yesterday I shared with the men here about how God sent me back to Sri Lanka. You know, we can walk with Jesus. Peter and John were walking with Jesus. Things were going well. I was here in America. Things were going well. In my eyes, when as Pastor Bill said, it's my opinion. It's not God's opinion. Yes, we can be doing ministry. It was going good. Things were on the up and up. Peter and John were like that. The apostles were like that. But they had many flaws. Only God saw those flaws. With those flaws, I'm pretty sure they would not be able to turn the world upside down. They would fail. The gospel would not go to the uttermost parts of the world. And it's in the same way in 2005, as I was here in America, in 2004, I went to a meeting. And in that meeting, there was a missionary who came and prayed for me. And suddenly, I got this missions call. Out of the blue, a missions call. I want to do missions. I was an evangelist, traveling the nations, preaching the gospel, seeing people saved, seeing people healed, like Peter, John, Mark, all of them, seeing the gospel go forth, things were going good. And in 2005, I had a visitation when I was in my room in my parsonage in New Jersey. At about 2 a.m. in the morning, the Bible, it was like the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2. Suddenly, there came a mighty rushing wind into my room. A mighty rushing wind. And suddenly the Holy Spirit, you know, came into that room. I didn't see Jesus. I didn't see, feathers. I didn't see angels. I didn't have this huge manifestation. There was nothing. But I was attentive enough to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And God spoke to me and God said, "Son, your time here in the United States is over. And I want you to go back to Asia." He didn't tell me a country, but he's told me to go to Asia. So I was unwilling to go to Asia because life here was really good for me. It was going really well. Things were good. The ministry was going good. So I was unwilling to go. And I hardened my heart and I said, "No, I'm not going to go," because I worked hard in coming to the United States as a student and then doing a lot of hard yards to get to the place where I was at. And my ministry was going really well. It's got momentum. I was going to the nations. I was seeing people healed and saved. And why should I go back to Asia? 3 days later, again, I had a visitation from God. And the same wind of the Holy Spirit came into that room, a mighty rushing wind. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And in that visitation, it was the same thing. That's why the Bible says it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same. So I was thinking God was going to say, "Pradeep, now you stay in the United States and you can go from here and preach the gospel." I wish God said that. It would have been good on my flesh. But God said my time here in the United States was over. Oh boy, that was really tough on my flesh. So I had this, when I heard the voice of God, I had decided one thing. If I lose everything in my life, but one thing was to follow him and to obey him. That's one thing that I decided in my life that I would do, is I would lose everything in my life, but I would just follow him and do exactly what he's telling me to do. Because when I die, I can die well because I've done what the Lord has told me to do. No matter what, I have done what God has told me to do. So I made that decision. And I said, "I'm going to do it." So I went to my pastor and I told him what I was going to do. He was not happy. I went and told my friends who were supporting me. They were not happy. None of them were happy. They were giving me all sorts of different advice how you can be a minister from the United States. Praise God. I believe that many are called to do that. But for me, this is what God is telling me. Amen. God has a plan for each and every one of you. But this is for me. And just stick with me. I'm going somewhere with this. So I did take up the challenge and I did go to Asia. And finally I arrived in Sri Lanka. I was going to go to Singapore. There was a nice door open there. But the Lord said, "This is not the place for you." I land in Sri Lanka. I thought Colombo is the place because that's a cosmopolitan city. The transition will be easy. Educated people, that can make a really good transition. I thought, okay, that's good. Go to Colombo. God said, "No, you go to Kandy." Oh boy, Kandy. It's a nightmare going to Kandy. It's like the graveyard for preachers. The graveyard for preachers. And it's true. It's really true. So I went to Kandy, and I was driving on the streets of Kandy, and the Lord said, this is the place. I didn't like it. And one day as I was driving, the Lord said, look through the window. And you see that church there? That's where you're supposed to be. That's the church I grew up. So when God gives you a missionary call, he will also make you a missionary. Amen. You got to take up the challenge in becoming a missionary. So it's always good, I believe, to be is better than to do. Sometimes we want to do before becoming who God wants us to become. The apostles were with Jesus, but they didn't become like Jesus. They didn't take the opportunity of becoming like Jesus. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and baptized them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So there is a process that God takes us through. And he begins to work in us. And I knew at that time very well when I was living in New Jersey, traveling the world, things were going well, in my opinion. But in God's opinion, it was not going that well because he wanted to change some things in me first. See, the Bible says, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Not Pradeep in me is the hope of glory. Amen? Sometimes we create our identity in the ministry, like what Pastor Bill was saying. It's our identity. Oh, everything is going well. This is going well. So I begin to, create this rationale that everything is going. So my identity is seeped up in the ministry. It's all built up with what I am doing. But it's not in Christ. God wants us to be rooted in him. Amen. In the image of Jesus, to become more like him. So I went back home to Sri Lanka, and I was there in Sri Lanka. And that's where the ministry of the Spirit really began in my own life. Going through trials, going through battles, going through betrayal. See, as an evangelist, it's really easy because you go to a place, you preach, you train people to evangelize, train leaders how to evangelize. It's very easy. It's exciting. You do outreaches, people like you, people love you, they welcome you, they receive you really well. But when you're a pastor and a missionary, it's a whole different story. It's an unthankful job. Welcome to the kingdom of God. I didn't really realize that. I thought ministry is like everybody's loving in the church. I thought everybody's going to be so full of love, full of gratitude. Boy, I was in for a rude awakening. It's not like that. It's not like that. So 2008, I had got married in 2007. 2008 was probably one of the worst years in my whole life. Never seen something, never experienced something. It was a rude awakening for me, because I've seen the real colors of people, tests and trials. But when December came, it was my first year of my first wedding anniversary. And this wedding anniversary, we went on a holiday, and for those 7 days, I just slept almost all the time. And my wife was asking, "Are you okay?" And I realized that I had depression. I'd never been through depression. So I was a very happy, outgoing, polite, loving person. I was so depressed. But beloved, that was the time that I began to realize what true ministry was all about. I began to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and began to walk in the Spirit and began to learn principles of walking in the Spirit. Even as Pastor Bill taught us today, how to love people. The Bible talks about long suffering. I don't know whether in this country, whether we like that word, long suffering. we suffer with one another. I don't think that's a good word right here. Sometimes in this country, people don't like that. I quit. I don't want to suffer. They don't preach suffering. There is suffering in the gospel. There is suffering. You suffer for God. And through it all, that process of becoming more like Jesus, it begins to be formed in that person. Hallelujah. I remember what I was talking to Pastor Bill one day, and I listened to what he was saying. He said, there are so many Christians in the end times are not going to withstand the work, the assault of the enemy. I was wondering, why? Why did he say that? Especially in the seeker-sensitive movement, it's all happy, wonderful, you know. It's a gospel that is created according to that leader. I can create the gospel according to the way I want. But in the end times, it's not going to help people to be formed properly so that they can withstand the assaults of the enemy. They're not strong Christians. Probably a lot of them are wishy-washy. So in my journey, that's what happened. You know, God began to mold me. God began to change me. God began to work in me. A deep work began. And revival and things of that nature didn't happen. The missions door didn't happen. The missions door, I went back to Sri Lanka in 2006. But the door for missions didn't open. There was no open door. I did everything possible. But that door didn't open. See, God has a time. God's time is the best time. I had to wait. That's why Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. So I believe, who is it? I think Steve was saying this morning, the worst times are the best times, right? So when the pandemic happened, it was like everybody went into a mode of just taking care of themselves. But God gave me an idea of just stepping out and helping some people in our community. And I didn't know how this was going to happen. It was only an idea. But it was also just, I felt compassion for these kids who had no food. Parents were out of a job. Our church was shut down. How do I just, you know, do this? But God was compelling me. I had this compelling thing in me to help these people, this community of people. So I stepped out and I helped these people. So here in the Bible, we see, as we follow the book of Acts, we see Peter and John were going up to the temple in the hour of prayer. So I believe, friends, that when we come to church, when we come into the house of God, that God is going to fill us up. He's going to fill us up with the Spirit. As we worship, you know, we are abandoned in His presence. We're completely devoted to Him in His presence when we are worshiping Him. And that's why Peter and John were coming into the house of God in the hour of prayer after they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They wanted perhaps another infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, and a man lame from birth was being carried. So the first thing is we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to maintain, even as Pastor Bill was talking about the unity of the Spirit, we need to maintain in walking in step with the Spirit. And you learn that in church. That's why there's a pastor. That's why there are elders and leaders who will teach us to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And that's the most exciting thing in life. More than all the other things that happen, it's the excitement that happens in walking in the Spirit. But if I walk away from the Spirit, or if I grieve the Holy Spirit, I can see that there's an oppression that comes. There's an open door for the enemy to touch me. So that's why it's so important to walk in the Spirit and to maintain a Spirit-filled life, you know, in step with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Secondly, the Bible says a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate temple that is called Beautiful, the beautiful gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. So secondly is this man had been carried to the temple. Just think about the people who have carried you up to this place. I'm thankful to God because I wouldn't be a Christian if my mother and father didn't pray for me, because I was so far from God, so closed, so in sin, didn't want to do anything with God. But my mother and my father and my church, they carried me in prayer. And we need to be thankful to people who have carried you in prayer up to this point. There are so many. Maybe it's a grandma, maybe it's a mother, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a friend who has carried you in prayer, in witnessing to you, persuading you about the Lord. There's somebody who had carried you, and we need to be thankful for that person today who had brought us to the temple, brought us to this place, and had come to the place called the Gate Beautiful. Gate Beautiful. So he was at this place, you know, begging, expecting something from the people. And there was a gate. It's called the Beautiful Gate. And people on the other side of the gate were enjoying life, but he was not. He was down there. He was a cripple. There are many people in life who are crippled. They're crippled with their circumstances. They're crippled by the issues of life. They're crippled by the economy. They're crippled by a loss of job. Maybe crippled by something that drastic that has happened to them. They're crippled. But here comes Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why God is calling you and I to walk in the Spirit. This is the hour, even as Pastor Bill thought, everything what he's teaching is talking about the Spirit-led life. It's not the carnal life. It's not... See, the good life is the Spirit-led life. Peter and John were formed by God after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now, you know, God had given them a mandate for the whole world, to touch the whole world. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. When the fire of God comes upon us, yes, we go to church to get filled up. We go for conferences, we go for meetings to get an infilling, get an impartation, hear a revelation, so that the river of God can come to us in a greater way, in a greater measure. But having said that, as we begin to go, wherever we are going, there's somebody that is crippled, waiting for God's touch. Hallelujah. And even as God had transformed me by his Spirit, like Peter and John, it took many years, 14 years. Nothing much happened in my ministry for 14 years. Good things happened, but I can't say I went to the whole nation. I can't say I went to the jungles. That mission, the mission's call was there, but the door didn't open. But once we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, in the process of time, when the processes of God are accomplished in our life, in the process of time, the Kairos time also will come. and he can open that door. So in 2020, when the pandemic happened, I just felt an urge to help these people. And friends told me, don't go, take care of your family, be at home. This is not the best time. The world economy is down. People are suffering. You don't need to go. Just stay home. Take care of your children. It's not the best time for missions. But I took a step of faith. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to take a step of faith. And one person helped me to do what I was called to do in helping this community. And we did help that community. Because they were crippled without food. And once that was accomplished, it was a small ministry, small beginnings. God says, despise not the small beginnings. It all starts very, very small. And then suddenly I saw myself in the region, and then the whole nation opened up. Hallelujah. The whole nation opened up. I didn't know that it would open up like that. But it's those 14 years of Spirit-filled living. God sees that. The work of the Holy Spirit, like the apostles waiting in Jerusalem in the upper room until you're endued with power. Hallelujah. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people who are doing humanitarian work, but they lack the power of the Holy Spirit. They're doing good works. Good works won't change a nation. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We need the gospel to go forth with power. Hallelujah. Whatever way you're ministering the gospel, there's power. Even as Pastor Bill was teaching today, there was power in that teaching ministry. You don't have to be shouting, jumping. But there's power when you're teaching. Hallelujah. There's power in revelation. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The fivefold ministry gifts. Power is not only with the prophet or evangelist. The power is also with the teacher. There was one day Pastor Bill was telling me something. But when he told me that, I didn't really like it. He told me the end time, this is the way the end times are going to unfold. He said, the end time harvest and humanitarian work are going to go hand in hand. And he showed me his two fingers. I remember this. He was driving his car to Washington, D.C., and he was telling me this. But I didn't really like it because people have made a mockery out of humanitarian work in my nation. A lot of them have left their calling in doing really good ministry and got into humanitarian work and messed up their families, messed up their ministries, messed up their lives. So I was really afraid of humanitarian work. So when he said that, I didn't really like it. But in the process of time, in 2020, that's exactly what happened. Humanitarian work and the end time harvest. It started. Hallelujah. Suddenly it started. Hallelujah. And here was Peter and John going up to the temple, and the man at the gate, beautiful, waiting there. There was a gate. There was a restriction. On the other side, people were enjoying their lives. People were enjoying their Christian life. But this man was on this side. He was not enjoying the Christian life. There was no joy. There was no peace. There was no hope for this man because there was a gate. There are so many people around the world that have these gates. No hope, no joy, no peace. But you and I are called to carry the hope, to carry the peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. God is calling you and I in this end time hour to carry the message of hope to a dying and a lost world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here was Peter and John, and this man was gazing at them. The Bible says that he fixed his attention in verse 5, expecting something from them. Expectation, Lester Summerall says, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. You know, no expectancy, nothing happens. But he was expecting something from these people. So when I go, when God opened the door for us, for the nation to go, I know people are expecting something. I have something to give to them. But before I give something, I tell them about Jesus. I tell them about the precious work of the Holy Spirit. But in the month of August, I was preaching in a village in Sri Lanka, and a young girl came. She was blind. And we didn't lay hands on her, no words of knowledge, nothing. She was seated in the worship service, and blind eyes opened up. Hallelujah. This last month, we were in a village. I was preaching, and there was this young girl. She was possessed. Suddenly, the Spirit of God broke out, and she was delivered instantly of demons. That's the power of God. Inside, it's a deep jungle. You got to cross two rivers to go there. It takes 3 hours to get there. Every driver I've gone, they refuse to come back again because it's so far, so remote. The road is really bad. And when he sees the poverty, they themselves who are poor, they are shocked. So they don't want to go again. But in the midst of that, Oral Roberts said, go where my light is seen dim, where my power is not known, even to the uttermost parts of the world. Nobody wants to go. Those pastors say, pastors come here, but they don't come again. That's it. Because it's not exciting. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you go where people are lame and crippled by life, crippled by poverty. No joy, no hope, nothing. It's a jungle around. What's my hope? In that village, the young mothers who are pregnant, they want to come to the city. On the way to the city, they give birth to their child, and the child dies because there is no medical assistance in the middle of the jungle. It's terrible. But you and I are called to be ambassadors of hope by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And here the Bible says that even as this man paid his attention, expecting something from them in verse 5, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. I don't promise these people money. I don't promise them anything. I don't promise them land. I don't promise them a better life. But beloved, here we see that they said, walk in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? I believe that Peter and John, after they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they had such authority in Jesus Christ that that's what they were consumed about. Not about money, not about cars and fame and this and that and popularity. Now I'm famous. I want to be more famous. I want to be more well known. I want to have more influence. No, they were consumed with Jesus Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work Holy Spirit is working in me. I'll be drawing closer to Jesus. In the morning, my prayer would be all to Jesus. I surrender all. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. It's all about becoming more like him. And not about myself. Decreasing to self and increasing unto him. Hallelujah. Because this world is looking for something that they do not have. And that's only what Jesus can give. Hallelujah. And he will fill us up if we ask him. He will touch us in the most difficult areas of our lives, in the most difficult circumstances. He will touch us. He will help us. He will heal us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He loves you today. He cares for you. He's a loving God. He's here today to touch you. Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have. What I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." When our focus is on Jesus, we can tell people to rise up and walk. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, "He took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong." We are the hands and feet of Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where people are going to latch on to that hand and come out of the doldrums of discouragement, despair, poverty, hopelessness, a world without Christ. You and I can lend that helping hand to them and bring them out. Hallelujah. My nation has 21 million people. Only 3% are Christians. I believe that God has called me, and there are so many others. I'm not the only one. But I believe that in my whole life, I've never felt like this. But I know now I do feel. I have a tremendous confidence, not in myself, but in the Lord. I know that my nation can be saved. God has called me and he has sent me. In those 14 years, I only knew to walk in the Spirit and to trust him and to believe in him. In Romans 15:13, it says that he will grant us peace and joy as we believe. I did have that. But now I have the hope and the overflowing power of the Holy Spirit for the nation. Because it's a work of faith in Jesus. As we just continue to believe in him, God will begin to pour out his Spirit upon you. Hallelujah. And that we can be his hands extended. We can be his mouth to the nation. Hallelujah. And I come today with great excitement. My country had so much of problems, so much of atrocity, so much of uncertainty. People are going overseas, and we have so much of migration from my nation. There was such uncertainty, but I had so much certainty. My God has placed me there for such a time as this. I never ever thought of going somewhere in the midst of this uncertainty, atrocity, economic downturn, all these things, because I know that my nation is going to get saved. And God has given us this nation of Sri Lanka. And I'm planted there because in those 14 years, I used to travel all over the world. And I remember about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I remember very well, in 2018, Pastor Bill told me, "Why don't you stay in your nation and minister without traveling all over the world?" Now, I didn't really like that, Pastor Bill. But that's the truth. And the truth hurts sometimes. That's the truth. And I'm telling you that. Now, I love being there. I don't think about going to the nation. I don't think about going to Australia. I don't think about going to Indonesia. God will open those doors. I know one day he will open that, and I'm pretty sure it'll do. It will. But for right now, it's my nation. To be there and do the work that God has entrusted to me, to be his hands and his mouth extended through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter told this crippled man to rise up, and he rose up, and he went from there, you know, praising God, leaping and praising God. Just think about a nation and a people group in a village, you know, leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. And that's the labor of love that God has given you and I, to go to the nations. Hallelujah. To see people, you know, coming out and leaping and praising God, breaking loose. Praising God, from darkness coming into the light, hallelujah. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's what you and I are called to do. And that's the mission's call that God has given to us. Hallelujah. And the whole, all the people in that place, the Bible says in verse 10, it says the people were in awe. It's called the wonder of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There'll be such wonder and awe because of not who I am, not because my ministry, what I'm doing, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's because the Holy Spirit, you know, people will be in wonder. Hey, can God use that guy? Can God do that through him? In the worst of times can be the best of times, Steve. That's right. The worst of times. And that's what God did. And I believe that God is going to do even more. We are just in the beginning stages. And he's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above how we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power has to work in me. Hallelujah. Day in and day out, in step with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to do a tremendous, tremendous thing. Hallelujah. Let's rise up to our feet.